From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus of this message is Paul's second epistle to Timothy. The apostle was on the verge of being martyred, and he recognized the need for a new generation of preachers to be raised up of God to carry on the work of the gospel. The faithful men of the older generation are passing off the scene, and the times require young men of the apostolic mold who will guard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then Paul emphasized the solemn duty of faithful ministers. They must be men who have a personal experience of Jesus Christ, who have a proven experience of God's grace in their lives. They must preach God's word, expounding the scriptures with the confidence that this is the truth of God. They must preach with urgency, in full awareness of the danger in which sinners stand before God. Furthermore, it is the duty of faithful ministers to preserve the gospel, to pass it on to the next generation in all its purity and power. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message called The Changing of the Guard. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled A Sound Heart. The text is Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. We may regard this inspired prayer as containing within itself the assurance that those who keep close to the Word of God shall never have cause to be ashamed of doing so. See, the prayer is for soundness of heart. A sound creed is good. A sound judgment concerning it is better. But a sound heart toward the truth is best of all. We must love the truth, feel the truth, and obey the truth. Otherwise, we are not truly sound in God's statutes. Are there many in these evil days who are sound? Oh, that the writer and the listener may be two of this sort. Many will be ashamed in the last great day when all disputes will be decided. Then they will see the folly of their inventions and be filled with remorse because of their proud infidelity and willful defiance of the Lord. But he who believed what the Lord taught and did what the Lord commanded will stand forth justified in what he did. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Men much slandered and abused shall find their shame turned into glory in that day. Let us pray the prayer of our text, and we may be sure that its promise will be fulfilled to us. If the Lord makes us sound, he will keep us safe.
Without thee, O Savior of the
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
Thank you. bother to take a text from the Bible? Why bother with Ephesians chapter 1 at all if you're afraid of what it says? There's a book, and from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, while I don't understand everything that's in it, I'm ready to accept anything and everything that anybody can establish in my mind is taught by that book. I don't fear anything in the Bible. It's true. It's inspired. So preach it. That's what Paul says. Because this alone can make men wise unto salvation. I would to God that we'd always remembered that. There's a place, for example, for illustration in preaching. Must be honest, I don't use an awful lot of illustration, story illustration. That's a weakness in my preaching, I suppose, and it simply says I don't have a great imagination. But I think it's also a reaction to what has happened, that the illustration has become the sermon. And sermons now are just usually a stringing together of little stories that will make you laugh and cry at the right time and then produce the same, the right knee-jerk reaction that the preacher wants. An illustration, Spurgeon said, is to be like a light, or should I say a window, that lets light into a building. The sermon is the building. The illustration is the window. I think that there are an awful lot of people in sermon construction who are trying to do what Mr. Schuller has done out in California and build a crystal cathedral, and with the same kind of dumb results. You take gospel tracts. Again, people have been often blessed with a testimony and an illustration. But for years, gospel tracts have been nothing but little stories. And the tragedy is that in the late 20th century, they're usually the little stories from the 17th and 18th centuries. And the man on the street looks at it and says, I have no relationship to that whatsoever. I mean, you go to some child in the inner city, in the grinding poverty, faced with the violence and the drugs, and you give him a little story of somebody that he will look on as some little goody two-shoes from some English aristocratic background, and it means nothing to him. God can bless an illustration. But what he's promised to bless is his word. Preach the word. Expound the word. Give them the word. In the middle 1970s, when I felt I should write that little booklet, Christ is the Answer, I deliberately sought to keep any connecting phrases of mine to a minimum, so that almost the whole book should be God's word. And I brought that to God, pleading his promise that he would bless his own word. And I have not been disappointed. And over the years, many, many souls have been saved by people simply taking that booklet, giving it into their hand and saying, I want you to read that and think it through. Preach the word. It alone can make men wise to salvation. Preach it in all seasons, Paul says. Be instant in season and out of season. Preach it with all urgency. Be instant means be urgent. Now let me come to talk to you for a wee bit about this. Get urgent. A preacher needs a sense of urgency in his preaching. A Christian needs a sense of urgency in his witnessing. Paul says in verse 5 that we are to do the work of an evangelist. Evangelize. In other words, be urgent, especially with sinners. One of the great marks of the preaching of George Whitefield was the urgency with which he preached. When you read the stories of revivals, you'll find that there was an intense urgency in every sermon. When people would fan out from the church and start witnessing, there again was an intense urgency about it. When they went to sinners, they just didn't go to tell them something in theory form. They didn't tell them something merely in the form of a doctrine. They went to sinners and they didn't talk about sin in the abstract. They talked about their sin. They didn't talk about eternity in the abstract. They talked about their eternity. They brought sinners face to face with God. And then they showed them the glory of Christ. And they pleaded with them. There never was a greater pleader in the pulpit than Whitfield. Whitfield the Calvinist, Whitfield who could write his famous treatise on election, yet in the pulpit he was pleading with tears, moving thousands by his tears to weep for themselves and come to Christ. Oh, there's got to be an urgency. When you think of it, we have a great gospel. Why on earth should there be so little gospel preaching? Why should there be so little gospel witnessing? In chapter 1 of this epistle, Paul says, "Of God, he hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ." Listen, is this not a message for today? Who has abolished death? Now there's a revolutionary message for you. He has abolished death. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In this world of sin and shame and suffering and death, there is one message. It's the message of the Christ who died and in dying defeated death and abolished death. It is the message of the Christ who, rising from the dead, has opened the gate of glory. It is a message of a Christ who is the Savior of sinners, real sinners, perishing sinners, sinners of every type across the world. Go to them. Paul says, be instant. Preach with urgency. Preach with personal application. Verse 2 of chapter 4, he says, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Some people wonder at times why I don't simply make my way through the sermon outline in equally spaced increments. Very simple. I learned a long time ago that it's not my job to preach a sermon. It's my job to bring a message. And there is an application to the Word of God. You see, my job is not simply to inform your intellect. That is part of it. If I don't inform your intellect, if I don't challenge you to think, if I don't force you to this book and make you think, then I'm failing in my job. I'm not doing it right. But that's not the only part. My job is also, by the grace of God, to reach your conscience. My job is also to storm the stronghold of your will, to stir the deep ocean of your emotions. That, put it all together, that is the job of gospel preaching. Preach with application. Then the preacher must preach as one who himself will soon give account to God. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What a solemn thing it is to preach the Word of God. Soon this preacher will meet the Lord. Soon I will render up my stewardship. Soon I will give back to God what he has given me. Woe be to me in that day if I have feared the face of man and therefore obscured the face of God. Woe be to this preacher or any preacher if, out of deference to man, I have compromised the truth of this gospel. I must preach as one who himself will give account to God. The duty of the preacher is solemn, for he must prove the gospel. He must preach the gospel, and then he must preserve the gospel. We read in chapter 4, verse 3, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think that time has come. I'm sad to say it's true even in our fundamental churches. Most of them don't want sound doctrine. Most want a thrill. They want an experience. They want an event. Evangelicalism is going more and more into liturgy. I was just thinking of this. There's one thing we can learn from the liturgists, and that is, you go into a Church of England church, for instance, there may be two people in this vast church. The Church of England minister, now calls himself a priest, will stand up and he'll go through the service, he'll go through the liturgy, exactly the same as if there were 1,000 people present. And his attitude is supposed to be, I don't say it always is, but it's supposed to be that this is a divine service, and I'm rendering this up as an act of worship to God, and it really doesn't change it whether there are 2 people or 20,000 people looking on. We could learn something from that. Preaching, listening, singing, praying, giving, all that we do in a service is an offering up of our worship to God. And our surroundings are really peripheral to the matter. But as I thought a little further, I realized why we don't have liturgy as such. Why it is not for the New Testament church to follow that pattern. It's because a minister is not a priest. He is a preacher. He's a pastor. He's a teacher. He's not a sacrificing priest. This, my friend, is the sound doctrine, to preach the gospel. And my, how little it is observed today. Now, what does Paul say? He says the good minister must hold fast the gospel, chapter 1, verse 13. Then chapter 2, verse 2, he must pass it on, because he says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So first of all, he himself must hold it fast. Then he must pass it on in all its purity to those who are coming after him. Now let me tell you, that is a vital criterion for judging any man's ministry. There are the 2 things. When my time in this church is over, those are the 2 things that before God are going to be the standards of judgment. Did I hold fast the gospel? Second, did I pass that gospel on in its undiluted purity to those who are coming after? Paul says that's the duty of the minister. It's going to involve warfare. That's why he says in chapter 2, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's going to involve warfare and much hardness. We read in verse 5 of chapter 4, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist. It's only in this way, as verse 5 ends, that we'll be able to make full proof of our ministry or fulfill the ministry. So that's the duty of the Christian ministers.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.